Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Actually, it's afternoon, I guess. But anyhow, I hope everybody is well and blessed, doing the best they can in their current situation and condition. Hang on, hold on. Change is coming. Change is underway. And it's a magnificent and blessed thing. Today is April the 18th in the year 2016. I got it right this time. There's a lot of great stuff happening now. My last broadcast, I left off defining Jacob and Esau and Jacob, or Jacob and Esau, however you want to pronounce it, however you want to look at it. And one would ask, well, why are you doing this? Why are you, you know, taking this route to explain all this stuff or to lay it out? Well, it's very important and it's very real. It's the truth. And, of course, we know the truth shall make us free. But when we look at it more specifically, it defines what has happened I can just put it blatantly like this. Esau's descendants have become the Jewish people in Israel that we know today, the Caucasian Jews that are in Israel as we know it today. And people would ask, you know, well, how can you be sure? How can you define that? Well, it's simply defined in the Bible. And it's just defined in, you know, demonology, anthropology, and paleontology, and different things like that. And the migration of man, you can certainly see it there as well, looking at the bloodlines in the male Y chromosome. We can definitely draw conclusions there as well, because the blood just doesn't lie. It can't lie. It doesn't lie. So we can certainly look at it in that particular manner. But the reason I'm doing this, moreover, is that, you know, we have a problem. The black man and the black people in this nation, in the great nation of the United States, have an issue, have a problem, have an ailment. And no one can seem to find out, you know, why we behave and act the way that we do. Why are our numbers so staggering? You know, when you're talking about, you know, the black-on-black crime rate, how black people behave and act in society, you know, it's a destructive, you know, we're like a destructive people. I mean, I think Hillary Clinton or somebody, one of the Clintons, called us a super predator. And she kind of had to, you know, for whatever reason, retracted that statement. But folks, when you look at our nature, when you look at how we are amongst one another, case in point, just the other day, when the football player, the New Orleans Saints football player, was gunned down by Mr. Cordell Hayes. Now, what they'll probably end up finding in that particular scenario, because I looked at it, you know, many, many times, and the football player, he did come up and bump Mr. Hayes's SUV or Hummer initially. That was the initial contact that we, you know, were able to see that was on video. And of course, the football player, he went around Mr. Hayes. Hold on just a second. He went around Mr. Hayes, and let me get some names here. Let me see here. Bear with me just a moment. Okay, Will Smith. How could I forget that name? Okay. But anyhow, it showed clearly that Will Smith came up and bumped Mr. Hayes's Hummer, because Mr. Smith was driving the Mercedes-Benz SUV. And then he backed up, or Mr. Hayes pulled over, And Will Smith, you know, proceeded to move around him and head on down the street, you know, like it wasn't nothing, you know. And so Cordell Hayes, of course, was in pursuit, you know, in his SUV. And regrettably and sorrowfully, they came to a stop, place where they could stop and get out and jar at one another. And Mr. Smith, there was loaded guns in both vehicles. Okay, I mean, if there wasn't guns in either vehicle, I don't think that they may have got into a fisticuff or altercation in that particular regard. But I would be willing to bet that both men would still be living today. So I mean, there's an argument there, you know, in the gun owner's case and things of that nature. Because we know guns don't kill people; people kill people. So there's an argument on both sides of that equation. But in that particular altercation, I do believe that Mr. Smith was headed back to his vehicle to get his weapon and settle this issue. Now he may or may not, you know, shot Cordell Hayes. I don't know. You know, but if he makes a statement saying that, you know, hold on, hey, you know, after they arguing and get, you know, all flamed and all that other kind of stuff, and of course Mr. Smith with his wife and, you know, football players are kind of cocky and all that kind of stuff, you know, so I would be willing to bet though he said, hold on, just, you know, hold on, let me go get my, you know, let me get my equalizer here, let me go get my, you know, I'm gonna get my gun and stuff, whatever the case may be. But you know, if he said anything remotely in that particular regard, that threatens a life. That puts Mr. Hayes' life in jeopardy. And at that particular point in time, you know, he goes and gets his gun out, or I don't know if he had it on him or he got it out or whatever the case might be, if he had a permit or whatever, or if either gentleman had a permit, you know. But anyhow, Mr. Hayes basically was quicker to the draw, you know, and that's how a lot of scores used to be settled, you know, back in the day. You know, you go out in the street and you have a gunfight, you know, look at gun smoke. I mean, that's the way they settle, you know, arguments and, you know, and this is kind of a modern day Dodge City, if you will. But in that particular regard, you know, and it's sad, you know, because he leaves, you know, his wife and, you know, three beautiful children behind, you know, but the point I'm making here is, why do we have this mentality towards one another? You see, that's the bottom line of what's most important here. You know, why is it that we can, you know, kill one another so quickly and, you know, a lot of times without remorse or anything like that, or just do things, you know, in throughout society, you know, in an ungodly nature, in an ungodly way, you know, and this is the problem. You know, God is not in the equation, anywhere in the equation, and he's been removed, you know, some, you know, strategically, some, you know, unknowingly, you know, or and a lot of it, you know, knowingly, but he's been taken out of the equation. You know, we don't follow his will and his statutes, you know, so this is how, you know, this is why, you know, we behave the way that we behave. And, you know, but it's all foretold. This is the amazing thing about it. It's all in the Bible. It's all in Scripture. You know, what we're dealing with today, you know, it is all in Scripture. And this is why, you know, I took the time to, you know, draw this thing out, lay this thing out so people could truly, truly understand it and let it not be, you know, hearsay, or, you know, let it not be just, you know, whatever it's been so loosely that we don't know who we are. You know, we don't know what we represent here in America or around the world. You know, we're actually supposed to be leaders and we're supposed to be, you know, bringing, you know, mankind back to God. You know, that is our purpose here in America and around the world. You know, we are the most church-going of folks, you know, on Sunday, you know, but we come out on Monday, you know, and act like, you know, we never, you know, we don't even know what that's all about. You know, we forget what we went there for, you know, but basically. In my last broadcast, I defined the difference between Esau and Jacob. Now, what we're going to do real quick is find out, you know, who are, you know, the Jews, who are the Jews, who are the true and true Jews, and more especially, you know, the Hebrew Israelite Jews, because these are the people, that God, you know, God has always talked about and God has always been with, you know, throughout the creation of man, basically. You can trace the lineage if you want to do that, you know, just starting in the book of Genesis and following, you know, the lineage all the way to Jacob, you know, and all the way throughout, you know, through Moses and Abraham and Isaac and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's all right there. It's all clearly, you know, laid out. And this is why you can tell this is a holy scripture. This is a holy book, you know, a spiritually presented book, because, you know, there's no way in the world that they could, you know, detail these type of things, you know, accordingly. And let it be just a random or happen chance compilation of ideals and ideology. Certainly is not the case here. What we can do here is look at, let me just point out something right quick. In the book of Kings, looking at 16, we can look at 16:4 and, you know, like through 16:10. This is the first time the word Jew comes up in the scripture in the Bible, and as a matter of fact, there's a war taking place in Jerusalem. There was war going on, let me just read this little piece right here, right quick. And the time, and this is Kings 2:6. And that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there until this day. Okay. So, you know, that was the first, you know, word that they, you know, first time that Jew came up in the Bible. But anyhow, what we can certainly do here is take a look at, to understand the lineage of Jacob. And not of Esau. You can certainly trace Esau's, you know, heritage or lineage, you know, right to the Edomites today, you know, which would be Israel, the people of Israel, you know, are descendants of Edom or Edomites. And if you simply look at the book of Matthew, the first book of Matthew, and I'm looking out of the King James Version. The book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. I don't know why they use the word son. You know, he would be an only begotten. But he is a lineage. Even he confirms that on the last page of your Bible, saying that I am Jesus Christ, the offspring of David, the bright and shining star. I mean, he confirms that. So, I mean, you know, the Immaculate Conception, which I call Immaculate Deception, stands in question here. I don't understand how, they would compile this Bible in this particular way and then have Jesus come back and confirm, you know, who he is, that he is an offspring. Look up the word offspring, you know, and allow it to be, you know, twisted into that, even at the bottom of this particular family tree here, you'll see where it gets a little murky because they try to twist it around to make it seem like that Mary was a virgin and Jesus was born of a virgin birth. Even though right here at the beginning it says, the beginning of, you know, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, and they're looking at the men in this particular regard, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. Okay, and Judas begot Phares and Zara and Tamar, and Phares begot Esrom, and Esrom begot Aram. Now you could just go ahead and you know, tie that all together. And just we got David the king, and David the king we got Solomon, and I've heard that that had been the wife of Urias. Okay, so you can go ahead and just tie all that, you know, together. But my point here is that these are the offsprings of Jacob. Okay, and you do not see the word Esau in this lineage anywhere. You know, it's not here. And as a matter of fact, if it were here, it would be up toward the top about Abraham, we got Isaac, and Isaac, we got Jacob. I think it would be right in there that Esau would be mentioned, and he's not. Okay, and there's a reason for that. you know, because it's not in that particular, you know, in that particular, in this particular bloodline in the Hebrew Israelite or true Jewish lineage or heritage. Now, if you want to, you can go on down here and, you know, read it. You know, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is Christ, who is called Christ. Okay, and that's basically how this, you know, looking at, you know, 16, it says, and that's basically how it's laid out, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. For the generations from Abraham are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away of the Babylon, and 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, then they go on, and this is where it gets twisty, why they, you know, kind of twist it up and shake it around and massage it and manipulate it so that it seems like, you know, now the virtue of Jesus Christ was on the wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was wanting to put her away privately and stuff. Okay, so that's where it gets, you know, twisty and shaky and stuff like that. But I thank God because, you know, Jesus, you know, straightens it all out, you know, on the last page of the Bible as to where it comes from. You know, you got a mother Mary and you got an offspring of David. And it's kind of interesting because David wrote the 23rd Psalm. I don't know if you noticed or not. And Jesus wrote, you know, the Lord's Prayer, or God's Prayer, or prayer to God, prayer to the Father. And they're both just, you know, they're timeless prayers, and they cover everything, you know. So people would ask, okay, well, you know, well, we're gonna get into some other things, you know, in terms of worship, you know, and how you're supposed to worship. But, you know, thank God again for Jesus, you know, and Yeshua, because he taught us how, if, you know, to pray when he says, "Our Father who art in heaven." A lot of people that I talk to, when I break them from, you know, what we're looking at right now, why we are the condition that we're in, you know, then they say, okay, well, what do I say? How do I pray? And I say, well, pray like Yeshua prayed. You know, if you're going to believe like him, then be like him. See, and he says, "Our Father who art in heaven." And, you know, we're going to get into some other things because, you know, it's actually a sin to worship Jesus. And, you know, and it's an amazing thing. I know that right there will blow a lot of people away. But the Bible clearly spells that out in Matthew 7, you know, when he's talking about, have we not prophesied in thy name and done wonderful works in thy name and cast out demons in thy name and in the name of Jesus. And then Jesus turns around and says, "Part from me, ye that work the iniquity, that work iniquity." Now, look up the word iniquity and see how severe a sin that is in the eyes of God. You know, what was the iniquity there that they were talking about? And the iniquity was worshiping Jesus, you know, worshiping him, you see. But man has twisted that around, you know, and got us in a bad way, in a bad light, because God has no, you know, he don't serve any other gods before him. He said, "In the sky, the land, or the ocean below, you shall serve no other gods but me." And one, in Leviticus, it says no other, I believe, and Deuteronomy says none other, okay. So anyhow, I just want, what I wanted to do right here, and this is not to be, you know, hateful or racist or to be anything, because this is the truth. You know, this is the truth, and the truth shall make us all free. You see, if we want to clean up our cities and clean up our, you know, our actions and our behaviors and different things like that, we have to bring God back into the center, you know, in the head of our existence and our, you know, humanity. And this is what, you know, the children of Israel are supposed to do, true children of Israel are supposed to do, okay? Now, and it's kind of amazing because in Revelation, you know, if we just jump to Revelation 3 and 9, it says here clearly, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." Now, folks, it's right there. You know, there are a Jew that say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Okay? So now if you look at the lineage again, look at the separation of lineage as to where this falls, you will see that it is tied directly to the Edomites or directly to Esau. You know, the red, the hairy child. Like I'm saying, he's not spoken of here in Matthew. Okay. And now looking at let me see what I have this okay. All right. Well, there's two interesting books out there also. Because it ties into Matthew 24:15, when he's talking about, you know, the abomination, desolation, spoken of Daniel the prophet, stands in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him which be in the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let them which is in the field return back. What was happening here was a war, a Roman-Jewish war that was taking place. And basically, you know, the Jews had to flee. Hebrew Israelites just had to get up out of there and leave all behind. There's a couple of books that you might want to take a look at if you have the time. They clearly do. Okay. For some reason or other, my call was dropped. But I'm back to finish up my thoughts here. Let's see. There's a book called The Great Roman Jewish War, and it's actually by Flavius Josephus. A great book to read. It's not expensive. You can get it off of Amazon. But page 60 through 67 gives us an account of the final dispersion and captivity of the Jews. General Vespasian and his son Caesar Titus fought against the Jews. Millions of Jews fled into Africa, among other places, fleeing from Roman persecution and slavery. Many suffered severely from hunger and starvation during the siege, and their hunger was so intolerable that it obliged them to chew everything while they gathered such things as the most sordid animals that they normally would not touch and endure to eat them. They even ate their children for food, and this is on page 235. Now, this coincides directly with the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy for the curse of the Hebrew Israelite, or the curse of the children of Israel for their disobedience from God. And what has happened here, folks, is that the true Israelite, the children of Israel, which is now here in America, have turned their face away from God and turned their face towards someone that, you know, this, you know, and this is not me, folks. It's clearly here in the scripture. It's clearly in the Bible, you know, like I just gave an account where Jesus said, blessed are those who are doing the will of the Father, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, okay? And for those who are blessing and giving their prayers and alms and things, you know, to Jesus, you know, said that it is iniquity in the eyes of God. It is a sin in the eyes of God. Okay. He told them, depart from me. They're doing all these things, and, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know. And he turns and that's all it says. The caption says that they're doing, you know, and he says, depart from me, ye that work the iniquity, you see. And this is why we're in the condition that we're in, you know, because, you know, iniquity is sin, turning our face away from God, you know. And it also comes back in the book of John, I think 12 and about 44, somewhere thereabouts. And, you know, Jesus again says, you know, do not worship me or believeth on me. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but believeth on the one who sent me. For he tells me what to say and what to do. You know, he gives me a commandment, you know, on what to say, you know, on what to do, you know, and things of that nature. So, you know, there's several times throughout scripture where it's clear that Christ is telling us, you know, who to worship, you know, and you know, furthermore, you know, what the result or the punishment, if you will, that God bestows upon mankind, you know, for not worshiping him, you see, for turning our face away from him. This is why we are suffering in this manner. Okay. There's another book that you might want to take a look at if you like. It's by Stephen Jacobs. The book is called The Hebrew Heritage of Black Africa. It tells about the condition on page 40. It tells about the condition of the black man, or the Israelite here in America, you know, why we're in the condition that we're in, and then we've turned our face away from God. And we've also, the black African lost all of his glamour and his ancient heritage with the onslaught of Christianity and Islam. Even his native beliefs became diluted and lost amongst almost beyond repair. But we're going to fix it. We're going to repair it. We're going to bring it back to where it's supposed to be, because if we do this, we bring mankind back to God, then all of these social ills and different things that we're going through and about to go through, we're getting ready to go through some even more difficult times. But the healing process and the putting away of separatism and separate, you know, ways and belief systems, you know, the divisions will be, you know, cast out very quickly, because the cornerstone of God will be in place. Okay, and we won't be led astray, you know, again. Okay, what I find also amazing, in time of, you know, all of this war, because what you can also find in these books is the children of Israel got a break for about 1600 years there in Africa, and then the Romans came along and disturbed that peace and disturbed that time, conquering lands. Is, like I said, I pointed out a while back, you know, the capital of Alexandria, you know, I think it was back in about 300 and something, just off the top of my head, you know, the capital of Egypt was Alexandria. Why would Egypt have a Roman name, you know, Alexandria, unless it was, you know, captured or being ran by Rome. Okay, and this is reality, folks. This is what happened. So anyhow, but you'll find that, you know, during that time, in 1600 years, that and then when Rome came along, there's a lot of children of Israel, Israelites, that ran a majority of them ran to the west coast of Africa, you know, along the island. Okay, so they got 90 seconds, so love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do, simply because God is love, okay? That's what we're talking about here, the love of mankind, not the hatred and separation of mankind, the oneness of mankind. Because, you know, Jesus or Yeshua, you know, that's what he taught. You know, he came as a teacher. His mother called him Rabbi or Rabboni, you know, just facilitates him being a Jewish rabbi, again, or a Jewish teacher. And this is why he was persecuted and put to death for believing in one God, not a number of gods, many gods, like, you know, ancient Egypt and different things like that, you know, believed in all these different gods of fertilities and gods of the river and gods of this and gods of that, you know, even, you know, gods with, you know, animal bodies and, you know, man heads or men heads and animal bodies and all that other kind of, you know, confusing type stuff. None of this was, you know, God looked favorably about, and the fall of that belief system and that man, you know, surely did take place, and I hope and pray that it doesn't happen for the current or the current human race, but it could, you know, it very well could for our disobedience. But anyhow, says I got 10 seconds, so we'll see if it cuts off. But if it does, you know, take care to the next broadcast. If not, I'm going to keep talking. And it's time for the descendants. Okay, now check this out, folks. 60 million slaves left the western shores of Africa over a 200-year period, headed towards America and the Indies, the West Indies. Okay, to realize that for most of them, their true religious heritage stems from ancient Black biblical. Hebrew Israelites and Israelite Africans. Let's see here. And it speaks of, like I say, all the social economic and mentally things that, you know, that we have gone through since that separation. And that dispersion took place in 70 CE, or after the death of Christ, when the Roman general Titus and his army destroyed Jerusalem. Okay, and you can look this up. You'll find it in that book about Flavius, And many black Israelites of that day who managed to escape the Roman persecutors subsequently migrated to West Africa, just like I have spoken of, among other places, and were caught up in the 1600 years later in the American slave trade and brought to America and chained, you know, by cruel men and were forced to accept Christianity. And this is, of course, the slave master's religion, you know, and his story, history. And also, you know, when you find a lot of people that become, you know, bitter, you know, about the conditions of, you know, Christianity and conditions of slavery, they convert to Islam. And this is the reason, you know, for it. And there's a, you know, there's a lot of angry people in Islam because of, you know, the mistreatment in Christianity and the mistreatment of, you know, all the slave trade and all this other kind of stuff. You know, people, you know, Donald Trump talked about the other day, why do they hate us? Why are we hated? So, well, people can't let go of the past, okay? They don't have the, you know, capacity to heal, okay? But if we understand that it's prophesied and it's in Scripture, it's a biblical event. It's an event that God pretty much and Jesus or Yeshua knew about, knows about, you know, before it took place, while it took place, and after it's taken place, you know, it's more acceptable. Somebody had to fill these roles. Somebody had to be these people, you know, in order for prophecy to be fulfilled. And I'm talking about the slave and the slave master. You see what I'm saying? So does it make it right? No. But does it make it, you know, more, you know, acceptable or accepting? Yes, it should. You know, logically speaking, it actually and realistically should. Let me see here now. So you can get those books and check those incidents out and prove those facts. But it clearly describes here, like I say, in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's see, which one I want to do? Look, let's see here. Well, there's just a couple little points here in Deuteronomy that I want to point out. Let's see here. Just like this one right here, 28 and 29. And thou shalt grope at noonday as a blind gropeth in the dark, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled even more, and no man shall save thee. Folks, if that's not the black man in America, I don't know what is. In the middle of the day, you know, you see us, you know, walking around aimless, pants sagging. Some of them still be at the grocery store with their pajamas on. You know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so you know they didn't do nothing in the top part of the day. You know, so that's an amazing thing. And no man shall save thee. Spoiled even more. Folks, what is welfare? What is the handout? You know, spoiled even more. You know, taking you even economically deeper in oppression and depression. And it says on 30 here, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. I mean, look at the days of slavery. You know, you had, you know, our, you know, black families, you know, had wives and stuff. Another man lay with her, you know, especially, you know, the Caucasian man and all these different, you know, hues of children were born out of that particular time and era. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Now, folks, the other day I talked about the fatherless household. You know, shall build a house and thou shalt not dwell therein. 74% of our households in America are single parent households run by the mother. You see, my household was set up in that manner. My mother was, you know, the head of the household. I didn't see a father, you know, figure there. You know, so. And look at 32, look at Deuteronomy 32, 28 and 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. Folks, that's slavery. That's being sold into slavery. You see what I'm saying? Because you couldn't do nothing about it. You know, they had the sword, they had the guns, and they had the weapons and the different things like that. You know, the chains and the shadows and different things like that. You know, and it's clearly right here. You know, and our sons and our daughters shall be sold to another people, and the eyes shall look and fail with longing for them, and there shall be no might in thy hand, folks. Now, there's a key word in Leviticus, 26 Leviticus, and it speaks of the ancestors, okay? Let me see, cast away now. Okay. Okay, now here it is. Okay, now you can look at Leviticus 26, and if you look at Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, you know, you'll find a lot of similarities there. Okay, 26 says, "Ye shall make no idols nor graven image." Okay, no idols nor graven image, folks. What is a cross? What is that man setting up? You know, hung up on the cross. What is that? That is a graven image. Neither rear up a standing image, standing up on the cross. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto them, for I am the Lord your God. You see, and he is a very jealous God. If you look at his commandments, it says, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits. In other words, if we are followed by God's command and commandments, then he'll bless the people, the children of Israel, the children of the teachers, as they would be the children of Israel to the world. And because we have followed his will and his command, okay? And we just go up to 55, 25 and 55. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. Okay, there it is right there, folks. I mean, it's clear as a bell. Okay, they'll get peace in the land and so forth and so on. You know, but if we don't, since we turned our face away, from God. Back in that day and time, as it is the same in this day and time, then of course he says, I will appoint over you terror, and this is 26 and 16, consumption and the burning are you, that shall consume thy eyes and cause sorrow of thy heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Okay, this is talking about when we do not obey his commandment and have turned our face, unto him, turn our face away from him. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. What are they doing to black people? Okay, I mean, it's not as rampant as black people doing, you know, killing black people, you know, but it says clearly here, you know, this is what it's all about, that they that hate you shall reign over you. Folks, it's clear. Now that's clear as a bell. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Okay? All right, so, I mean, it's all right there. You can read that, and it talks about, eating our own offspring, eating our own children, and things of that nature, because, we're going through, all these different things and walking contrary unto God. You know, I mean, it's clearly right here. Okay, but at the end of this is where it all comes back around, and it's beautiful. 26 and 44. And yet for all of that, when I be in the land of thy enemies and their enemies, here we are, folks, right here in America, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly. In other words, we've been taking a hard hit, but to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. Okay? He's proclaiming this, folks. This is what it's all about. We must take heed, all mankind. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors. Very key. That's a very key word, of their ancestors. For I brought them out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen. Okay? And place us right amongst the heathen again. This is the third time we've been held in captivity. Two times before in the ancient time and here in the modern day. That I might be their God. I am the Lord. Okay? These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Folks, that's the law. By the hand of Moses. That is the law. What is the law? Okay? Looking at the Ten Commandments. You know, he's a jealous God and having none before him. You see, it comes back here in Leviticus. It comes back in Deuteronomy. You know, and it comes back in the New Testament. You know, it comes back through Jesus. It comes back through Yeshua. You see, confirming and saying that it is an iniquity or a sin, you know, to serve or to worship me, you see, but worship the one who sent me. You know, worship, you know, the will of the Father. You see, it's over and over and over again. And that covers all mankind, you see, not just the children of Israel. The children of Israel are supposed to be teaching the same message of Christ. The children of Israel are supposed to be teaching the same message of Yeshua. And that is oneness, one God, one people, and one way of life. And that way of life is righteousness for all mankind, not for just the children of Israel who are supposed to be the teachers and instructors, you know, of this. Just like Yeshua, they called him rabbi. His mother called him rabbi or rabboni, a teacher. You see, but this is supposed to be, you know, why we are here, why we were bought, you know, the 60 million of us that were taken out of the west shore of Africa, you know, and brought to this nation, brought to America, was for purpose, you see, and that purpose was to teach the word of God and the will of God, moreover, the will of God, you know, to all mankind, so we wouldn't be living in these perilous ways, you know, in this day and time, okay? So hopefully, you know, I'm able to tie it all together so it all makes sense. I'm going to keep trying. We're going to get this right, you know, because the blessed thing about all of this is that it's also prophesied a many, many, many years of peace. You know, after we go through all these different, you know, wills and ills and ways and abstractions, distractions, retractions and protractions and all this other kind of stuff, you know, we're going to ultimately, you know, end up, you know, in the oneness of God, you know, just as Yeshua taught or Jesus taught, you know, that's why they put him on the cross, folks. Think about it. What sin did he commit? What did he do? You know, who was there? Romans and Jews. You see, at that particular day and time, who put him up on the cross? The Romans did. Who watched? The Jews did. Okay, so it's all right there. You see, it's clear as a bell. Okay, so why did they do it? You know, because they taunted him. Where's your God now? Where's your God now? I got you. We got you up on the cross. You say, where's your God now? Why ain't he saving you? Even he cried out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You see? So there's a many, many, many separations there. But there's all, it all comes together. It all ties together. You know, and this is the blessing of God. You know, this is the spirit of God that comes through and ties it all together, you know, so that, you know, somebody can share it, you know, amongst, you know, mankind, and share it amongst the world. This is what we have to do, okay? So bring followers, bring people, bring other people that want to be educated, you know, to this broadcast. You know, educate them yourself. You see, this is what it's all about. This is the healing of mankind. There is only but one solution, you know, and it's the greatest solution, and that's God. That's as simple as that. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Until the next broadcast, take care and so long for now.